Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we look at the readings for this Sunday, which is the second Sunday of Lent. Second Sunday of Lent. And I want to begin it by reading for you a passage that from an article that Bishop Robert Barron had written. I found it very, very good. And he says this: "The Bible is filled with such tales, but there is none in the sacred books more compelling than that of Abram of Ur. At the age of 75, Abraham abandons his cozy domesticity and goes in search of a promised land. On the way, he faces down opponents, overcomes obstacles, but he finally establishes himself and his plan in the new world. So far, so familiar. But what makes the biblical account distinct is that Abram undertakes this hero's journey precisely at the prompting of the Lord God. The Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from your land, your relatives, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.' And he did it. Our God is deeply and consistently interested in calling us beyond ourselves. He is never satisfied with where we are or what we've become, because he wants more and more life for us. He never tires of summoning us on a hero's journey." St. Ignatius of Loyola expressed this conviction with his motto, which meant always greater. This Lenten season, pray about this. To what promised land is the Lord calling me? And from what Ur of the Chaldeans am I being summoned? Brothers and sisters, it's quite a reading. So let's take a look at these readings for the second Sunday of Lent. We open with the reading from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. "The Lord said to Abram," this is what I was just talking about, "the Lord said to Abram, 'Go forth from the land of your kinsfolk and from your father's house to a land that I will show you.'" What would you do? Want to go check out with the psychologist if you had such a message? "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless all those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you.' And Abram went as the Lord directed him." Honest to goodness, brothers and sisters, I'd think, my goodness, I had a bad dream or something like that. But what did he do? He did what God asked him, even at his older age, even being 75, he gave up everything and followed the Lord. And he couldn't just go down to the corner and get a bus. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a means of transportation. But he went directly to do what he believed God asked him to do. Now, don't be taking every dream you have as something from God. But there are times when God does speak to us through our dreams. Pray. If you sense that, pray and ask God what he would have you do, if this is from him, to show you. The psalm for today is Psalm 33. "Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Upright is the word of the Lord. All his works are trustworthy. He loves justice and right. Of the kindness of the Lord, the earth is full. See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine. Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us, who have put our hope in you." Is your hope in the Lord? You know you can trust him in every way. Tell him you trust him. Tell him you want to trust him more. Let this psalm become your own. The second reading is from Paul to Timothy, chapter 1 and verses 8b to 10. Beloved, bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to his own design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I've wondered many times, how much do I really depend on him? Or do I do everything I can do and then turn to him? The better way is to turn to him first, then do what you think you should do, then come back and ask him again, because we are not our own source. Really, we may think we are, but we're not. The strength comes from God, and we need to rely on it, lean on it, depend on it, ask him again and again, and he will help. And then we look at the wonderful gospel for this Sunday. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. Can you imagine? I'd run and hide, I think, if I saw something like that. I would be frightened. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Can you imagine such an array of light and beauty? And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them. My goodness, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. And then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them, and from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Say once more, listen to him. That's why I'm encouraging you to read the scriptures daily. Listen to him, because great wisdom will come to you. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate, and they were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Did you ever think what it's going to be like to be in heaven? Have you really thought what you're going to be? You're going to be a light, shining, brilliant light. Jesus is going to impart to you his love. He's going to bless you. Heaven is where we want to go and spend as little time in purgatory as we can, right? So let's take time to thank God for what he showed the apostles here. Look what he showed to Peter and James and John, to give them strength, to encourage them to follow him. We can say, well, we need encouragement too. But are you going before the Lord? Are you coming to him daily? Are you offering time to him every day? I mentioned this before, but I would say, if you say, I don't have any time, give God 15 minutes a day. Start there. Read the scriptures. Stay right there. And then gradually increase it by 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Till you get a good hour. You might have to break it up, half hour here and a half hour there. But brothers and sisters, we all need to be very much in touch with the Lord. And that doesn't mean that some kind of scroll is going to come down from heaven, but it means that the Lord will make it possible for you to see the way in which he wants you to go. You'll get a letter, there'll be an advertisement for something, and the Lord will say, try it. You never know, brothers and sisters, the ways in which he wants to lead us and care for us. And if we're lacking funds, if we're lacking money, go to him. Put your case before him. Tell him what you've done wrong and say, Lord, please, please will you help me? Please will you help my neighbor? Please will you help my president? Please will you help us, Lord? Please help us. We have St. Gregory of Palama, who wrote about this visitation, this transfiguration. He said, what do the words "and was transfigured" mean? St. John Chrysostom, the theologian, said that the Lord graciously willed to open up a little of his divinity. He revealed God within him to the initiated disciples. As he prayed, says Luke, the fashion of his countenance was altered. And as Matthew writes, his face did shine as the sun. Those who behold God in divine contemplation need no other light, for he alone is the light of those who live forever. What need is there for a second light when they have the greatest light of all? Thus, while he was praying, he became radiant and revealed this ineffable light in an indescribable way to the chosen disciples in the presence of the most excellent of the prophets, that he might show us that it is prayer which procures this blessed vision, and we might learn that this brilliance comes about and shines forth when we draw near to God through the virtues, time spent with the Lord, and our minds are united with him. Brothers and sisters, God wants to bless us far more than we understand, but we think, well, it's up to me in this life to get the blessings. Come to him. Come to him daily. He might do it through other people. He might do it directly. Listen to him. Listen to him. Wait upon him. I can't tell you how much he has in store for you, because even I don't know how much it is. But he waits for us. He has a place for us in heaven if we're faithful to him here on earth. This is not just some, falderall of an experience that happened thousands of years ago. This is God present to his people. He knows when we need help, really knows when we need help. But come to him. And if you are in a good place in your life, look around you to others. See, again, as I've said before, see where there is someone in need. And whatever you can offer them, maybe just a little something to eat or something to drink, maybe it's firewood, do whatever you can for them, brothers and sisters, because the poor are God in disguise. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.